church family, I want to invite you to stand this morning. We are here for no other reason but to lift high the name of Jesus in this place.
Yahweh, the Lord our God is with us. Yahweh, the King of Kings is here. Yahweh, shout it to the heavens. The Lord our God is strong to save. From age to age, He reigns.
Come on, let's sing this together. Lift Him up.
And every chain will break,
as broken hearts declare his praise. For who can stop the Lord Almighty?
Sing it out.
Our God is the Lion, the Lion of Judah. He's roaring with power and fighting our battles, and every knee will bow before him. Our God is the Lamb, the Lamb that was slain for the sins of the world. His blood breaks the chains, and every knee
gates of your heart.
So open up the gates, make way before the King of Kings, the King of Kings. The God who comes to save is here to set the captives free. For who can stop the Lord? Stop the Lord Almighty.
Sing that.
Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord Almighty?
Sing it louder.
Who can stop the Lord Almighty?
Nothing can stop.
Who can stop the Lord?
Before you are seated this morning, would you just take a moment and greet those standing around you? Just say, welcome to the house of the Lord. Something powerful happens when God's people gather. It is so good to be together this morning.
I want to welcome all of you online, all over the world in our online community. Thank you for joining us this morning. Grabbing your device, your cup of coffee, and tuning in. We're praying for you and thankful that you've joined us here in the room. If it's your first time with us on a Sunday morning, we want to say welcome. Thank you for coming and being a part of our worship service. If you would, just do us the pleasure of texting the word CONNECT to 74788. Text the word CONNECT to 74788. Let us know a little bit about you, how we can pray for you. We would love to serve you. Thank you for joining us. This is going to be an incredible morning. We're celebrating and highlighting a couple special ministries in the church. It's our Children's Spectacular Weekend. We've got our Prestonwood veterans out in the atrium. If you're a veteran and you haven't connected with them, if you've served in our military, we want to say thank you, and we want to partner with you and minister to you. So go out there and check out those guys. Yeah, let's give all of our vets a hand. That's a worthy, worthy hand clap right there, Dave. And then also, Prestonwood Sports Outreach, one of the largest outreaches of our church. Tune in, listen to what these families have to say on the screens in this video, and I'll come back and tell you a little bit more about it.
I love PSO because it allows us to marry our love of sports with our love for the Lord and our love of kids and families, and to help invite people who might otherwise not come to church with us.
The main thing that sets PSO apart from other sports leagues is that Jesus is at the center. And we knew that if the gospel was being preached or represented, that we wanted to be a part of it.
We put our boys into PSO whenever they were both about 3 years old. 7 years later now, and we still have the same community. That community encouraged us to join Prestonwood Baptist. Who would have thought that a little three-year-old soccer team would lead to all that, but it did.
My wife and I became introduced to PSO years ago. Our son, Mason, has been involved for a number of years. During that time, we found that PSO brought much value to him as a young man and also brought a lot of value to us as a family.
PSO has had a huge impact on our family. For one, it's given my husband and I a chance to minister together in an area that we're passionate about. And also, it's helped our four-year-old Alex learn a couple great life skills, enjoy learning about soccer and t-ball in a fun and safe environment that honors the Lord.
You don't have to have great background in sports. What you really need to have at PSO is a love to see kids grow.
The heart of PSO is the gospel. You know that your kids are in really, really good hands.
PSO is one of the largest ministries that Prestonwood has. And for us, it's just a great opportunity to reach out to the community, invite people that haven't been to church to church, introduce the love of Christ to them, as well as have fun playing sports.
Not only is that great for the child, but also the parents are standing on the sidelines with other like-minded parents.
If you love sports, if you love kids, if you love coaching, Prestonwood Sports Organization would be a great opportunity for you to serve.
PSO is an easy yes as a parent because you want your kids to be involved in sports. And before you know it, you're involved in the church and you're better because of it.
Yeah, let's put our hands together. God's doing some incredible stuff through our Prestonwood Sports Outreach. Listen, I would just echo what my brother James said on the video. If you love sports, if you love kids, and you're sitting out there and you don't have a place to serve and you haven't connected yet, check out this QR code. Take your phone out right now. We would love to partner with you. We'd love to get you signed up. Put your phone on that little QR code right there. Let us know a little bit more about you. We've got booths in the atrium where you can hear more. We've got a pickleball league coming up this summer. A lot of you are playing pickleball. I know this because pickleball is the largest, most rapidly growing sport in the country right now. I'm just going to say in the world, all right, Mike, in the world. So get out there. Come join us. Come be a part. It's going to be incredible, and we would love for you to serve. It's your faithfulness in giving. It's your generosity that makes Prestonwood Sports Outreach, Prestonwood Children's Ministry, Prestonwood Veterans Ministry, makes these ministries possible. So stay faithful in your giving, church. Ask the Lord, how can you use me? Prayer, giving, jumping in, and getting involved. We need you. Let's bow our heads together and pray as we continue in worship. Father God, we love you. We thank you that you are a big, big God, and you're our Heavenly Father. You're a good, good Father. Who can stop? We sang it. We asked that question. Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord? We know the answer. There's no one, there's no thing in this world that can stop you, Father God. So we say this morning, have your way in our lives individually. Have your way in our families. Father God, have your way in our communities. Accomplish and do what only you can do through your sons and daughters, your church. Father God, we want to be good sons and daughters that honor you with all we have and all that we are. Lord, speak through your servant Neil this morning as he opens your word. And we pray, God, that you would do something that only you can do in our hearts. Make us more like your son, Jesus. That's our hope and that's our prayer. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
You are the same. Good morning. It's great to be with you. Glad you're here. Neil Jeffries, my name, and I'm honored to be able to preach today and bring the message. And I always feel obligated. I need to warn you, I'm a stutterer. I stutter. And just so you know, and it's not as bad as it used to be, but it's still pretty exciting. And so just know that. John chapter 5 is where we are. If you have a Bible and want to take your Bible, the Word of God, John chapter 5. We're going to look at the first 9 verses. This is the healing when Jesus heals a man at the pool of Bethesda. And we're in a series, Tell Me the Story of Jesus, and we're doing 7 weeks on the 7 signs in the Gospel of John, 7 miracles that Jesus does. Each miracle has a message, it's what he does there, and even in this scene here, he's going to heal this man, but the message is just not Jesus is a healer. The message is Jesus is the Savior of the world. He wants to heal us spiritually and make us whole. And so this is the third sign, the third You know, just, I can see that, I'm not sure you believe me about the sign part, so I'm going to read John 20, verses 30 and 31. With John, at the end of this book, he describes what he means by this. Here's what he means. John 20, 32, 31 says this. Now, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples. He did a bunch of signs. Actually, at the end of the Gospel of John, he said, if we wrote everything that Jesus did down, the whole world couldn't contain all the books. So he did a bunch of signs. But for some reason, in the sovereignty of God, in his plan, he picked seven miracles he's going to do. In this case, he's going to heal a man physically. But there's a far greater message here. It's the message of who Jesus Christ is. And so he says this. He did many other signs, which are not written in this book, he says, verse 31. But these are written, these seven are included, so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, that Jesus is the Son of God. And by believing, you may have life in his name. That's the point. So I'm going to read John chapter 5, 1 through 9, this passage. Then after I read this, I want to show you a 90-second clip from The Chosen about this passage right here. But first, I want to make sure you know what's happening when you see this clip. So let me read this. John 5, 1 through 9. Here's what happened. He says, after this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. We don't know which feast this was. It's one of the big three, probably, but Jesus is in Jerusalem because of that. Now, verse 2 says, now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate. The sheep gate is the gate which they took sheep into the old city, into the temple to be sacrificed for the sins. And, of course, that's a picture of our Lord Jesus. That's a picture of the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. That's a picture of the cross. That's a picture of all of that. There's a sheep gate, and by that sheep gate, there's a pool. In Aramaic, it's called Bethesda, which has five roofed colonnades. And in these colonnades lay a multitude of invalids. And he describes their situation, blind, lame, and paralyzed. Not a pretty scene. And then there's one man who was there who had been an invalid for 38 years. And when Jesus saw him, Jesus comes to him, he sees him, and he knew that he had been there a long time. He knows everything. He knows this man. He knows us. He knows everyone who was there. He knows you. He knows everything. And he said to him, he asked him this question, do you want to be healed? And the sick man answered him and said, sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, and while I am going another steps down before me. It was a spa effect, something. There was something going on. They thought if we can get in the water first, we would be healed. But Jesus asked him, do you want to be healed? And the man talks about this. And so Jesus says in verse 8, said to him, get up, take up your bed, and walk. And at once the man was healed, he took up his bed and walked. So I want you to focus on this clip. Focus on the condition of the man, just his situation. Focus on the fact that Jesus is there with the man in that situation, and then focus on what Jesus said. It's incredible. Watch this.
The others stepped down in front of me. And so, look at me. Look at me. That's not what I asked. I'm not asking you about who's helping you, or who's not helping, or who's getting in your way. I'm asking about you.
I've tried.
For a long time, I know. And you don't want false hope again, I understand. But this pool, it has nothing for you. It means nothing. And you know it. But you're still here. Why?
I don't know.
You don't need this pool. You only need me. So, do you want to be healed? So let's go.
I've seen that 100 times and I've cried every time I see it. And I'm trying not to cry because, as I've said before, stuttering and crying, it's not pretty at all. It's an awful mix. But I wanted to see a couple of things in this story. And actually, I did my outline out of what is majored on in that clip. And of course, it's obviously, it's right smack dab in the Bible. You know what the first thing that just hit me about that, and of course the text says this, it is a mess. The world is in a mess. Hey, this scene that describes here, he describes it. It's just full of invalids, people who are blind, lame, and paralyzed. It's a sad scene. It's a sad situation. You know, in some ways, just seeing that, it's tragic. It's depressing. In some ways, it's ugly. You know, it's gross in some ways. It's overwhelming. It's dark. It's unclean. It's dirty. The whole scene, it just represents not just what's going on there. It represents what's happened in the world. It's a world without Christ. You know what? All of these people are, and everyone in the world without Jesus Christ is the same thing. Powerless. And can't do anything. Helpless. And there's no hope. That is where they are. And that is where our world is. You know, in one sense, the world is in a mess. And it's in a mess because the world has rejected Jesus Christ for who he is. It's just the world. But the point is, all this mess, all this sadness, all this deal that you see in this multitude in the world around us, you know what? Those are the very people that Jesus left heaven and came to earth to die for on the cross. He loves them and wants to do an incredible thing in their life. My point is, it's messy. Everything is messy. It's true. It's true about the multitude. You know, it's true about this man. I mean, this man, the text says, has been there 38 years. That's over half of a lifetime. I mean, he has just struggled. And all the things about the multitude are true about him. He's helpless. He's powerful. He's got no solution. He's got no alternative. There's nothing there for him. And he even says this. When Jesus asked him if he wants to be healed, you see this in verse 7. And the man answers this. He said, "Sir, I have no one. I've got nobody in my life." Man, how sad is that? He's got all of this, but he's got no family, he's got no friends, he's got nobody. He is powerless to do this. There's no way he can be helped. He has no hope. He's warning, he's lacking in everybody's life. He's waiting for something to happen. He didn't know what it is, and he's hoping something. He's looking into this pool. He's looking for somebody helping, but you know, that's not the answer. You know what? World's in a mess. This man's in a mess. You know what? This is a sad fact. Many of us are in a mess. Now, I mean, this is as nice a place as it is. I mean, you can't get better than this. Everybody looks good. Nobody stinks, as far as I know. I mean, it's pleasant, it's comfortable, it's wonderful. And, you know, we come here, we're dressed up, and we are actually at our best. But the fact is, some of us in the room are going through the hardest, hopeless, helpless situations in our life. And in one sense, all of us have moments. Even the Christian has the moments when, like, the world is over, it's just overwhelming us. And that just reminds us again how much we need Jesus. You know, I've struggled for so much of my life with my stuttering and the impact of the stuttering, and just I never felt good about me and just in the struggle. What am I going to do? How am I going to go? There is no way. It's a mess. There's the second thing. And I love this. About that clip and about the text. It's a mess, yes. But Jesus is right there in the mess. I mean, right smack a dab in the middle of the mustard and the pickle is the old advertisement. If you remember that advertisement, you're old as I am. But that's where he is. I mean, in what may be an ugly, the least possible place you would expect God to be. But the fact is, God is there. He's with this guy in his mess. Now, that's a miracle. That is impossible, but that's our God. That's who he is. You know, it's fascinating about this this man who gets healed. Of course, we know it, and then he gets healed, but it's fascinating. He doesn't even know who this man who's talking to him is. He has no idea. Jesus just showed up in this situation and showed up to him and started talking to him. He didn't even know, because later on, after he gets healed, he's going to carry his bed and walk around, and the Jews are going to see him. And he goes, hey, because that's against the Sabbath. And so the Jews are going to say, hey, who told you to do this? And the guy said, I don't know who he was. I don't even know. He doesn't know. This is fascinating. This man had no idea. He didn't know who this was. He didn't he could have asked, hey, where'd you come from? Now, that's a fascinating answer if you look at it. Because here's the point. Jesus came from heaven, from glory to earth. And that's the miracle of the incarnation. God became a man. That's impossible. That's incredible. That's the thing. But he came here. He's living his life there. A miraculous life, perfect life, doing all that he did, saying all the things he said, doing all that he did. And then, at this moment, he comes to Jerusalem. He actually comes to the temple by the sheep gate, exactly in this spot, comes to the pool of Bethesda in the most miserable situation imaginable, speaking the most miserable person maybe that there is around. But at this moment, he walks up to this man and he speaks to him. He knows him. He's seen him. He knows everything about him. And he's going to change his life. Now, that's the moment of a lifetime. The man had no idea. But Jesus has come to him to do something incredible in his life. You know what the fact is? That is true of you today. Amen. Jesus is here in this and he comes to you now, obviously. He doesn't come to us exactly the way he did to that guy because he doesn't come physically. You know how he does it? He comes through the Holy Spirit, which is fascinating because Jesus, back then, he could only be in one place at one time talking to one person because of the Holy Spirit. He can be everywhere with everyone. And the awesome fact is, the Holy Spirit knows us, sees us, knows exactly where we are, and he comes not just in the Holy Spirit, he comes through the Word of God. Jesus Christ is the Word of God, and this is the written Word of God. He comes to you through his Spirit, he comes to you and us through his Word, and sometimes he comes to you through a witness, through a person who knows Jesus Christ and then tells you about Jesus Christ. And he comes to you in that way. And he comes sometimes through a message. I'm praying somehow, some way, God does that this morning and takes a stuttering guy who struggled all of his life, but somehow with the message, the Word of God, what God wants to do, somehow you get that message and you realize God showed up here through this guy who's preaching today to give you a message of hope and ultimately change your life. This guy has no idea. And sad to say, some people have no idea it's Jesus who's there, who's talking to them. And don't realize this Jesus wants to change your life. You know what else this guy did not know then? He didn't know. Of course, he's going to find out. But then he didn't know that Jesus actually had the answer to his life problems, needs in his life, that Jesus had the answer. But more than that, he's going to discover, he didn't know it then, that Jesus actually is the answer. Amen. That's why Jesus, in that clip, he said, hey, you don't need that pool. Hey, you don't need some friend to help you. He looks right at him and says, you need me. Which is incredible to realize Jesus is actually offering this guy a whole new way of life. He's actually offering him to be healed, to be whole. There is an alternative to life, and praise God, there is another option. There is another way to live. But he doesn't even realize that Jesus is the option. And also, he doesn't realize that he's going to have to make a choice if he wants to be healed or not, and to realize he ultimately is going to be changed forever. He's going to be made a new man. He didn't know any of that. Some in the room, you just think Jesus is whatever you think about Jesus, and you have no idea that Jesus Christ, the one who made you, who died for you on the cross, has a whole new plan for your life, and all of that, Jesus is the answer to your life's problem and questions and struggle as well. And he will forgive you of your sins. He'll cleanse you, make you a new man in Christ, give you life in his name, as that verse I read earlier says, and abundant life now and eternal life with him in heaven. The Lord Jesus is here with us right now. He's with you right now. And you know, he wants to meet you at your messy point of your need, whatever your need is. And he wants to do something incredible. That's our God. That's Jesus in the midst of our situation. And you know what? As a Christian, hey, he's always with us. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. And whatever you need, in any moment you need it, Jesus said, I am the great I am. Whatever you need, I am. He's the answer. You do. But here's the third thing. Then we got Jesus. We got the mess, and it is. We got Jesus. We got Jesus in the middle of the mess with us. Then we got Jesus and the man talking. And they have a discussion. And this is fascinating. So what Jesus is going to do, he's going to mention three things. He's going to he's going to ask him a question. He's going to give him a command. Then he's going to speak a promise to him. This is fact. Look what happens here. Jesus says in verse 6, he says, do you want to be healed? Now, it's fascinating. He didn't even answer that. You would assume he'd say, yes, of course I want to be healed. But he doesn't say that. He's already thinking, hey, there's no possible solution to this anyway. It's impossible. He didn't even answer it. He looked some other place to the pool and somebody to happen. You know, some scholars have said, you know what? The fact is, some people don't want to answer that question because they've been sick for so long. It's easier just not to change. Some scholars say have been living in sin so long, doing their thing for so long, and just rejected God, wanted to acknowledge him. They don't want to change either, but Jesus is offering this man a whole new way of life. But he makes some excuse about this pool and this pool. He's making an excuse. He's got a reason. You know, it's amazing. In our world, it's amazing. Some people find any reason imaginable to not trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. I mean, he's standing right here. He's before you. He wants to forgive you of your sins, make you a new person in Christ, give you life in all of its fullness now and forever. And some people are so wrapped up. Well, the Bible's not true anyway. Well, there's some little thing in the Bible. Well, what about all the evil? Why about all this? Just make excuse after excuse and don't even realize life is standing before you. You know, it's amazing. You have some people, and this is sad. I don't understand this, but this is just the way it is. Some people, hey, do you want to go to heaven? Yes. But I don't want Jesus. Yes, some people, hey, do you want to be whole? Do you want to be healed? Do you want to have a new life? Yes. Of course I do, but I don't want this Jesus thing. Hey, some people say, do you want to be blessed? And of all the blessings, everything? Yes, but I don't want this Jesus. I don't want Jesus. Many people just don't won't Jesus? And yet he's life. Well, good question for us. Just as he asked that guy there. And the question is, do you want to be healed? Do you want to go to heaven? Do you want to have your sins forgiven? Experience life in all of its fullness. All of that is being offered when he asks the question, will you believe? And you know what? There is a first step in all this, in being healed, being whole, being saved. I guess the first step is just a desire, just a willingness to say yes. You know, I guess the first essential part of faith is just a desire to receive what faith represents. It's a desire to receive the life-changing power of Jesus Christ. Jesus comes to every one of us and asks that question, do you want to be healed? Do you want a new life? Do you want all these things? And the question is, do you have a desire? He asked this guy this to be healed. He's asking us this morning, do you have a desire to experience a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? That's the first step. Lord, yes. You know what? If you're here this morning and you have that desire, you know something is happening in your heart and life, and you know you need what Jesus represents and who he is in your life. You have that desire. You know what? In just a few minutes, there are a couple more steps we got to go through, but you know what? Hey, we're going to have an invitation. You know what? I'm going to ask you, if all you have is desire, you just follow that desire and come forward and make a decision to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. Now, this guy never did say, yes, I want to be healed. But something, and in the movie, the way they showed it, I'm sure you caught that. He smiled a little bit. Did you notice that? And after that, Jesus said, so let's go. Now, I'm not sure he said that, but I could have. We don't know. But something happened. Jesus saw something in the look, the eye of this man, because he knows everything, right? He knows the heart. You can't fake Jesus anyway. It's either real or not real. Jesus noticed something in response to this man that Jesus, after having asked the question, he sees enough of a response to desire that Jesus next gives a command. And listen to this command. He says, verse 8, get up, take up your bed, and walk. Amen. Now that's a command. Actually, that's an impossible command. This guy can't do that. He's never been able to do that. He can't even stand up. He can't walk. He can't carry this bed. There's no way. All that's impossible. It is an impossible command. There's no way that can possibly happen, but Jesus Christ does the impossible. That's what he does. That's who he is. Actually, this whole thing is impossible. Even that Jesus is there, that's a miracle. Even that Jesus is greater than anything and everything, that's impossible. And Jesus can speak these words, and what's going to happen? It's going to happen because Jesus said it. If this man will, as an act of his will, exercise his will and say, you know what, I choose, I'm making a decision, I'm going to obey what this man, I don't even know who he is, but I'm going to obey what this man has said, and I'm going to do it. There's something. Now this is a moment. It's a decision. I mean, this guy says, yes, I need this, and all of a sudden, he's got to decide if he's going to choose whether to believe in the one giving this command and whether he's going to obey it. And obviously, when Jesus speaks, he's got an authority. I mean, there's a powerful authority in what he says. And there is an enabling power in the midst of that. And this guy has to decide whether he's going to put his trust in this one, making this command, and act, and he's going to actually get up and take up his bed and walk. Well, you know what? He did. He got up. Getting up, the only way this man gets up, he can't do this at all, it's because of a sovereign work of grace. Jesus just said, son, you are whole. Now, some scholars say, well, did he have faith and he got healed? Or did he get healed and what is going to result is the faith? Probably that one. Because he didn't have any faith. He didn't know who Jesus was. He had no, all he has is what this short encounter with Jesus and this act of grace, because Jesus can heal anybody, whoever he wants to, at any time he wants to, but he just does it. This guy that says, Jesus is going to do this for me, and all of a sudden he gets up. You know, the fact is, you and I have to make that same decision, an act of our will. We have to have a desire to trust Jesus Christ as our Savior, and we have to exercise our will. We make a decision. You know what he says? To repent. I'm going to repent. And he says, turn from your wicked ways. I'm turning. And then he says, you believe. Whoever believes in the Lord Jesus Christ will be saved. And that's the command. I'm going to believe it. I'm going to accept. You choose. It's an act of our will. We choose to trust Jesus, to follow Jesus, to obey Jesus, and to serve Jesus. He gives him a command. He accepts that command. And then third, and this is, we don't have time for this, but this is a little bit later in the deal. He gives him a promise. Just so, look at verse 14. This even in our text. But in verse 14, this man is being criticized by the Jews because he's carrying his bed. And on the Sabbath, you're not supposed to carry your bed on the Sabbath. And so the Jews are mad. Jews aren't rejoicing that this guy got healed, which was an act of God. They're mad because he's carrying his bed. And so they said, hey, why are you carrying your bed? Look what the man says. And this is, I wish I had time for this, but this is fascinating. Verse 11, he says, and he answered them, the man who healed me, that man said, take your bed and walk. This guy is so serious, he realizes part of his cure was getting up, taking up his bed, and walking. Why would he not do what the guy who just healed him told him to do? Get up, take your bed, and walk. He just said, hey, that guy told me to do this. That's why I'm doing this. And the Jew said, well, you can't do this at all. And so, verse 13. Now, the man who'd been healed didn't know who he was, but Jesus had adorned himself. And verse 14, and afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said this to him. And this is a whole message here. We don't have time for this, but he says this. See, you are well, son. You have a whole new life. Then he makes this statement. He says, sin no more. Hey, you've been saved from this. You've been changed. You don't want to go back. He tells him that nothing worse may happen to you. Now, scholars believe his illness may have been tied to his sin, which is why he's there. We don't know that. But his point is, hey, son, I've made you well. You have a whole new life. Don't go back to where you were. You keep on walking. Of course, in the New Testament, walking is a reference to life. Hey, keep living for me. And it's a promise. You keep following me, trusting in me, obeying me. And the Bible says, Philippians 1:6, he who began a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Jesus promises if we accept him, he'll save us. He promises if we trust him, he'll forgive us, make us new. He promises if we believe in him, we will not perish but have everlasting life. His promise is if we follow Jesus, if we believe in him, we belong to him forever and ever. Amen. He promises to be with us and never second all of that. And then, of course, fourth, this is my last point. Jesus does the miracle. I mean, he's healed. He's whole. It's a whole new man. He's walking in faith. New body, new spirit. You know, isn't it just awesome? Just, isn't it amazing? That it's even conceivable you can have a moment like that. Isn't that amazing? And it's all because you have a moment of, because Jesus came, is here, lived, died, buried, rose again, and is greater than anything we're facing in life. All of that has happened here because of Jesus. And yet some people don't want God in our world at all, reject God, take Jesus out of this whole thing. Do you realize you take Jesus out of this whole, if Jesus is not here, if God's not here, this, things like this do not happen. And when I was a sophomore in high school, I did what he asked me to do. He commanded me to confess my sins and confess him as Savior. You know, I got on my knees and said, you know what? That was a moment of a lifetime for me. It changed my whole life. It changed my destiny. It changed everything. That doesn't happen. It's just incredible to think how awesome it is that we can have a life-changing moment. That's even offered. That there's an invitation from Jesus who's here, who's looking at you and say, you know what? I want you to have a brand new life. I want you to be whole in life. I want you to experience my peace in life, my purpose for life, my grace, which is sufficient for anything and everything you're going through. I want you to experience all that. And when you die, I want you to have the assurance you know you're going to heaven because whoever believes in me should not perish but have everlasting life. He does the miracle, supernatural. I praise God. You know, somebody said, and I love it. Let me just read this. What salvation is. Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and 10. I know this in the King James, but in this verse it says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And it's not of your own doing. It's the gift of God. Not a result of works. So no man may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Amen. Some scholars say, you know what? When this man got up, that was by grace. He couldn't do it. We can't save ourselves. Jesus can. He can't get up. Jesus can. Have him get up. That's grace, by grace. It's through faith. Ultimately, this guy had to believe that what this man is commanding me to do, I'm going to do. He had to believe that. He had to stand up and then take his bed. And then he had to walk unto good works. Live your life in such a way. Now, this, as I close, I got to say this. And this is, I wasn't going to say this, but I got to say it. You know, a question people ask all the time, you know, why didn't the Lord heal everybody? Now, that's a question in this passage. I mean, the whole bunch of people, they were all there. He heard one. Of course, that's the sovereign will of our God. We don't understand. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not all that stuff. I mean, he has his plan. One, he didn't come just to heal. He came to save and be Savior of the world. But God doesn't heal everybody. Now, ultimately, if you're a Christian, everybody gets healed in heaven, perfect new body and all that stuff. But here on earth, he doesn't heal everybody. You know, in one sense, Paul had a thorn in his life. And Paul said, yes, Lord, three times. Whatever it was a mess, so to speak. He asked the Lord three times, he said in 2 Corinthians 12:7. Lord, take it away. God said, Paul, I'm not going to take it away. He could. He could heal anybody. But for Paul, he didn't take it away. You know, in one sense, I've asked the Lord hundreds of times, why do I stutter, Lord? Save me from this thing. Now, I don't really pray that much anymore because I see it now as a gift. But as a kid, high school, college, seminary, I mean, God, take this away. We know, obviously, he hadn't ultimately healed me of this stuttering. But you know what? God told Paul in 2 Corinthians 12, hey, Paul, because you got this thing. I guess he's saying the same thing to me. He's saying, my grace is sufficient for you. Amen. Actually, you're going to discover that my grace is sufficient in a way you would have never have known that if you didn't have this thorn. Neil, you're going to discover, hey, my grace is enough for you. It's sufficient for you. And God also says, hey, Paul, you're going to discover that my power is actually made perfect in your weakness. Right. Paul then says, I would rather boast in my weakness that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Wouldn't you say that Paul, though he didn't get healed of the thorn, but Paul got healed? He was made whole. You know what? I realize now, hey, this whole stuttering thing, it was the plan of Almighty God. And praise God, yes, I still stutter, but praise God, I'm not an invalid anymore. I'm not blind, I'm not lame, I'm not paralyzed. I have discovered the purpose of my life, and there's a great God. He wants to do great things. That's the point. Maybe I'm still got this thing in my life, but God has made me whole. You know, my dad was dying of cancer. Of course, we prayed for my dad. Man, God, heal our dad. He was only 60 years old. And say, God, we're going around, we're in the back and all that stuff. Well, he died. He was not healed of pancreatic cancer, but my dad was whole. He knew Jesus. My dad was singing this little song at the end of his life. He sang this a bunch of times. I heard him say this a little dilly. Excuse me. We never sing this. Actually, I haven't heard this song, this little dilly, in forever. But the last year and a half of his life, as he neared death, he'd sing this little thing. He'd sing. Excuse me. He'd sing, if I live well, praise the Lord. If I die well, praise the Lord. If I live or die, my only cry will be, Jesus in me, praise the Lord. My dad was whole. Amen. And as he died and went to the presence of the Lord Jesus, he became really, really whole. So, it's like the Jesus said in that film, so, do you want to be healed? This is the moment. Moment of a lifetime. Would you bow your heads? I'm going to pray in just a moment. You know what? I just believe there's a man here, there's a woman here, and you know this, the message of John chapter 5 is for you. And the Spirit has told you that. Your heart just has a desire for that. And the question is now, will make an act of your will. You decide, you know what? I'm getting up and I'm going down in the front, making a commitment of my life to Jesus Christ. I want to accept Jesus as my Savior. I need Jesus. I'm in this mess. And I've tried everything else the world has to offer, and I know my only option, the only hope I have is Jesus. In just a moment, when we stand, I want you to come, whoever you are, a young man, young lady, boy, girl, man, husband, father, lady, wife, mother, granddad, whoever you are, if you need Jesus, in just a moment, I want you to come. Make a commitment of your life to Jesus Christ. I know some of us in this room, we're Christians. We follow Jesus. But you know what? We have that promise he makes. Hey, don't keep on sinning. We've got stuff in our life. And it's gotten messy. You know, you can come today as well and confess that sin. Confess that independent spirit away from the Lord and just say, you know what, Lord, I want to start all over again. I want what you have for me. I'm confessing my sin, making a renewed commitment of my life to Christ. Somebody else in this room, you need a church. You've been putting it off. This is the place God wants you to be. When we stand and start to sing, as our men are up here at the front and also in the back, you come and just say, I want to be a part of this church and serve the Lord Jesus here. God, I'm asking you to say what you need to say. And I'm asking you that there are many in this room who have a desire and an act of the will. We're going to make a commitment to follow Jesus in this moment. I pray this and I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for worship at Prestonwood. As you heard earlier, if you made a decision for Christ, please text Jesus to 74788. We would love to connect with you and give you these great resources to help you grow in your faith. One is a New Believer's Bible with helpful notes to help you study God's Word. The other is a book by Pastor Jack Graham on the next steps to take as you pursue this new life in Christ. As we close, I'd like to thank you for your faithful giving to support Prestonwood and the work God is doing through our ministries. If you would like to give, text the word GIVE to 74788 or visit prestonwood.org/give. It's been a joy worshiping with you, and we look forward to seeing you again soon.